You are listening to Retro TV, a podcast about the wonderful world of nearly forgotten television.
Christopher. All right, what's going on? Hold on one sec. I'm just typing on my computer. All right. All right, I am controlling the temperature where you're recording right now.
Let me just hack into my thermometer, my thermostat. Holy moly, we're going from 1883, where we have a morphine addict travel through time to 1983. And we have Matthew Labyrinth put on a pair of big old glasses.
Was this show like built around him? Like, was he supposed to be the new Scott Baio or something?
Whoa, those are big shoes to fill. Come on now.
And let's be fair, Matthew was not in a band. Oh. He didn't have his own hit records.
Can you imagine if Matthew Labyrinth was on Charles in Charge? I would love to see an episode, just one, of Matthew Labyrinth as Charles in Charge. Wow. That might have worked. Might have worked. Although he's not Italian.
I would have liked to have seen Albert Loves Joni.
That? Albert? Joni Loves Albert? Now, when you first watch this, we're talking about 1983's minor hit. It's not a hit. Whiz Kids, 1983.
Like, it didn't make a season, right? You said 18 episodes here, so.
18 episodes. I don't believe there was any interest in a second season.
this is by the creator of Simon and Simon. I couldn't believe that.
There's a crossover episode, though, with Simon and Simon.
No
Simon.
Way.
There is, yes. Where, I'm going to call him Albert, but where Richie Adler is on an episode of Simon and Simon with all of his friends, and they help. It's a pretty good one. Maybe we'll do that one in the future because I love crossovers.
That is a great crossover. I used to like Simon and Simon.
Yeah. You know, Simon and Simon is a pretty underrated show. It's a pretty decent cop show. But it's not a cop. It's not like Hill Street Blues, and it's a little bit more like it's lighter than Miami Vice or something like that. So, October 5th, 1985, we are in somewhere in LA, right?
I was thinking it's like Spielberg suburbia type setting.
Yeah, this is. Yeah, I mean, really, I mean, it may as well be, actually, I believe, in Colorado that War Games took place?
Parts of it, yeah.
Now, with War Games, War Games came out
that summer,
about six months before this. June 3rd, 1983, War Games was released with the multi-talented Eddie Deason. Now, Eddie is on the mend.
Is he coming around?
Eddie is feeling a lot better these days. He is. He's posting. He asked for you. He said, "Where's my confidant, Chris?" And I said, "You get your energy together, Eddie. You don't have to worry about where he is right now." So no, but he is feeling a lot better, and I don't know if he's home yet. He doesn't really disclose too much about these things.
What? He's still in the hospital?
He's been in the hospital for a very long time.
Oh, I thought he was out already. I really thought he came back.
He might be, but he was unresponsive for a very long time. I thought we would be doing an RIP Eddie Deason.
Right, he was in a coma, and you were still like, Eddie, can you do a show? Come on the show. We'll just throw questions at you.
Eddie, it's like, look, don't say yes or no right now.
just blink an eye.
I'm going to send you a fruit bat. I'm going to send you a fruit basket, and you think about it. And I'm going to put some chocolate turtles in there, buddy. So a lot of people make that comparison, War Games to WizKids. People think, you know, WizKids is a big ripoff, and in my eyes, it is. So
you saw additional episodes, right? Because I didn't watch it, and I just watched the pilot, or not the pilot, but the first episode.
It gets better.
Does it? Oh, okay, actually. I was wondering how. I mean, this is going to be a geek heavy episode because we're going to talk about.
It is.
Don't forget that little loop that we're going to play every time we do a techie thing.
If you could just I bet you this is going to be a little loud. If this is too loud, everyone take your ear away from the speakers real quick. I'm just going to see if this is.
That's good.
It's all right. But it's the best. It's my.
I want to talk about every single piece of equipment in this episode. And
well, I've done a little bit of a deep dive.
Whether or not they could actually do what they do pre-internet.
Well, this isn't pre-internet.
Yeah, there was no sort of. They're in their little clubhouse with all their computer equipment, and they're somehow tapping into their friend reporter's computer somehow. Like you could not do that back then, could you?
Yes, to a point. Not exactly like this. We will get through, and I will break down a number of techniques that they use that regular hackers use, and it's not like. It's not like crazy hacker stuff like nowadays where they have really eloquent and interesting ways of hacking things. But it's for the most part doable to a point. I mean, some of that stuff is impossible. You wouldn't be able to access temperature.
set off the water hoses for the fires, you know, the extinguishers.
Right. Right, like in the few, I don't think they did in this episode where they put a message on a parkway, like you know the signs when you're driving, like keep your belt buckled. He was putting signs like on, you know, he was changing that stuff. No, that's like nowadays it's probably possible if you have access to it, but back then I don't think that they had that kind of networking going on. Maybe, but there's a lot of stuff to talk about. There's a lot of cool hardware. There's a lot of cool people involved in this. Here's something that's really cool, and I will get to it in just a moment. There is a piece of software that is used. It's even thanked in the end of this. I'm so glad you picked up on it. It is called
I wrote them all down.
Graphics. Yes. Now, Paul Ludos is a big deal.
Oh, my God.
Designer.
Is he really? Like, okay. I didn't know.
Yes. The best part about Graphworth is it's something that runs on the Apple operating system back then, Apple II, I believe. And you can actually run an emulation of it right now on archive.org, where you can actually play with the software that was used in WizKids for the production.
Wow.
And, yeah, some of the graphics. And it's the full... One, it's a 1981 piece of software.
On a floppy disk.
It's actually kind of... No. On, let me see, 35 disks. That's how it would be installed. You would install on 35 discs from what I can see. I could be wrong on that. I have to see how this all works. But, you know, this is, at the time, really advanced software. This is probably similar software to what was used in, like, 1977 Star Wars with, like, you know, those kind of basic graphics that look like Atari. Anyway, so
Atari is thanked in the credits too.
Atari was like a leader in the world of computers at this point. I don't know if this will coincide with the show, but I'm pretty sure the Atari 800 XL was out, which I have one. I also had the 800 XL, but that was a legitimate computer. They had a light pen. You'll see Richie Adler using a light pen in the future, using it to create music. We're talking about music synthesis. We're talking about speech synthesis. There's a lot of cool stuff in the show. Robotics.
Which
robotic arm.
Which holds his sandwich while he eats it.
Yeah. Guess how much that robot arm was selling for, Brandon?
MSRP.
No, not that one. 10 times less. $23.95.
Yes, but in 1983 money, that's a lot of money. That's like $23,000 now.
Well, I have the adjustment. It's $6,200 adjusted for inflation. Yeah, it's called the Microbot, and it was this is to give you an idea of how funny what he's using. Actually, my numbers are for a device called the Mini Mover, but it's a robotic arm, right? That is not a toy. It was meant to pour chemicals together in a lab setting. It's a very serious piece of hardware, and somebody just sold it on eBay. I don't know if they made a deal offline or what, but they have, let's see, the Mini Mover 5 Microbot Mechanical Arm, $69.
Wow. You should have went for it.
For $70, yeah, in a heartbeat. And he was doing free shipping.
There's not much you know could what I do with done? It, though.
Well, I would slap a WizKids sticker on it and sell it as as something from WizKids. No. But, you know, in the background of this guy's photo, he has a bunch of them. So I'm going to reach out to this guy. He's down in Florida. And we'll see. But it says it's not working. But I wouldn't know how to program this thing anyway. But anyway, the Mini Mover 5 Microbot Mechanical Robot Arm, the MIM5.
That brings up an interesting question. So, you know, when we get to the clubhouse scene and we are going through, we can itemize every piece of equipment he has. How much money has he been spending in 1983? How much allowance does this kid get that he could?
We learn in the future that his father is a computer guy, and most of this equipment is from his dad working.
Okay, because his mom seems to be a homemaker.
Yeah, she really enjoys those terms. And you know, and kind of not really questioning too much strange behavior of her
like,
son.
Like, why are you breaking into town records, dear?
I always loved their house. Their house always seemed huge to me. When he's there, they're in a clubhouse?
No. I think that's off to like, that must be the garage or something, you know, above the garage or something.
Maybe. Whatever it is, it's pretty cool. I do want to mention right now, Chris Cooling actually has a deep dive that he had. He interviewed a number of people who were involved with the production of WizKids. And you can find his podcast at forgotten.tv. But Chris is a good guy, and his podcast is really good. And I do recommend people check it out. But that's my plug of the day. I'm only allowed one plug. All right, so we have Old Lady in a Bubble.
This plot gets a little – I had to watch it twice to
– Dramatic. It opens up with a murder. I mean, this is a kid's show. This is a show that was marketed to kids.
Yet. She's going to be dead, but she's
– Well, but
– She's in a coma.
Oh, yeah. We think
she gets a visitor. And it turns out that the old lady in the coma – has a piece of land that the owner of NASCorp wants to purchase because he has plans kind of like to build the Poltergeist neighborhood.
Yeah. Wait, what was the name of in Die Hard? What was the company?
Oh, no, that was the Yakitori Plaza. So.
Oh, yeah, that was Yakitori. Yeah. Something else was NASCAR.
I was thinking that too.
All right, well, I'll do a quick. So I looked up NASCAR, but now that you're saying it, like I'm hearing you say it, and I'm like, you know what? It does sound really, really familiar.
The guy has the whole model of the area in his office, and I was that's all mm-hmm. I was thinking of. Like, oh, it's Poltergeist. It's the guy who wants to build the Poltergeist neighborhood.
It looks like a mixture of E.T. It looks like these neighborhoods that we're very, very familiar with.
Yeah, I was saying, like,
time.
It's like takes place in Spielberg suburbia.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Poltergeist, you know that I think I told you this. I used to live four blocks away from the house that the movie Poltergeist is based on.
That's in California.
No. The original story takes place in Seaford Harbor on Long Island. Not more than 6 miles from the Amityville Horror House, actually. And I can post a clip, like a newspaper clipping that kind of touches upon it. And there are a lot of connections. And for the most part, it's understood that Spielberg used this as a jump-off point for his story.
Interesting. I did not know this.
Yeah, four blocks. It looks like a totally normal house.
I was going to say, was there any unnatural goings-on?
In my house, yes, but not in that house. That house, I don't think it could be more normal. But yeah, here's our first clip of WizKids, the pilot. I was psyched when this show came on, by the way. I used to love that theme song.
I have to find my fall preview for 1983 and see what else was coming on. I wonder what this ran up against. Like what were people watching that this wasn't a hit?
Yeah, it's a good point. 1983, I mean, what was
if it was
on?
Wednesday night, it was Fall Guy.
Well, but Fall Guy, this was an 8 o'clock type show. Fall Guy, I think that was a 9 o'clock type show. Yeah, it's like, I got to stay up a little bit later for Heather Thomas. Was Heather Thomas enough?
Yes.
I love me some Heather Thomas. Indeed. All right. Here's our first clip. We're in the hospital. The lady's in some type of quarantine.
Right, she's
tank.
On lockdown. Yeah. She's got COVID. She's in a bubble and everything. Well,
she doesn't look like she has one modern piece of hardware connected to her, though.
There's nothing attached to her. She's just got that plastic wrap around her.
Yeah, you have so many computers in the show. You can't throw one on the side there. Boop. All right, there we go.
You didn't tell me there was a granddaughter.
You didn't tell me. Now, this is Mike from Breaking Bad.
I know from Beverly Hills Cop.
Beverly Hills Cop, you said. This is Jonathan Banks. What a good actor. I love his intensity.
I can't believe this guy has been acting since the 80s. I'm glad he continues to work.
Yeah, I mean, and he's worked since 74 in a lot of things, but it wasn't until WizKids. It wasn't until WizKids until he got his big break. He was in 48
hours. Was
he
in 48 hours? Damn.
Says it, yeah.
Hey, Beverly Hills Cop was 2 years after this, so it could be that WizKids.
He was in a lot of stuff. Wait a minute. Pump these brakes. Pump them. He was in an episode of Little House on the Prairie.
No way. What episode?
Yeah, Darkness is My Friend.
Which is the one about...
apparently somebody named Jeb. I don't remember. But he plays Jeb Sanders. Oh, no, he doesn't. He was in Walton's. Oh, it does play Jed. He plays Jeb with a B in Walton's. Then right afterward, he plays Jed with a D in Darkness is My Friend.
I bet he's a killer in that one, too.
But check this out. Same year as in Little House on the Prairie, he was in the movie Airplane.
Wait.
Same year. He's also in Stir Crazy.
I can't picture him in Airplane. I know Airplane back and forth. Who was he in that? Must be one of the...
Well, there's so many. Gunderson, it says. Gunderson is like a big guy.
Huh. And Stir Crazy? Wow.
But
I know he's a familiar face.
Holy cow, I cannot believe that. That is such a, that's a really great thing that he's in an episode of Little House on the Prairie, because if you're listening to the show, you might know that we also have a Little House on the Prairie podcast called Walnut Grove Town, so check that out. That's plug number two. All right, let's get back to Jonathan.
Banks.
What's his name again? Banks. JB.
For God's sakes, you said she was the sole surviving member of the family. You said no one would care when she died.
I know what I said. Shirley Harrison has been missing for 30 years. How was I supposed to know she'd turn up out of nowhere?
This guy seems really sleazy.
But he's also, you know, he's the head of NASCARP. And I'm thinking, oh, this is our Blofeld. But he's like this measly, ratty-looking, bald-headed dude with a cheesy mustache. Like, even I could beat him up. But he's the head bad guy.
He looks like he looks like he should be in The Godfather, but as a reject guy in the background. Now, I want to set the stage here. They are looking through a two-way mirror in a hospital, apparently, right?
No, it's maybe, a convalescent
it's not
home. It's an old folks home.
And they're looking through a two-way mirror, right? Like, I didn't know that that was, like, normal.
For an old folks home.
And it's also a soundproof mirror, apparently, as we'll learn in a little bit. But they're just kind of watching. Nobody is the wiser. It's just kind of
the
strange.
The doctors can watch the old folks having sex.
Look at that one.
Wants to move her. Do you have any idea what would happen to me if another doctor saw that medication schedule?
You can't let her leave the hospital. Sedate her and we'll admit her as a patient.
We'd be open to a malpractice suit.
For God's sakes, Talon, you worried about malpractice? What about murder?
Mrs. Harrison is 94 years old and in very poor health to begin with.
Still murder when you pull the plug on her. And as soon as she's dead, we can kill Shirley.
No, I won't do it.
You'll do it. You can't be accused of killing a person who's been dead for 30 years now. Can you?
Can you? So.
Oh my God.
All right, we'll get there. But the woman who's visiting the lady in the coma is related and lives near the Whiz Kids, who just drive on her driveway for no, you know, just because they like to fuck with her.
Yeah. Like, let's just drive around. Let's just ride our BMX bikes. Another thing that was really big at the time was BMX bikes.
You know, I was thinking of those. Those legs, those bikes do not allow for leg extension, so you're not going to get any exercise. It's got to be really difficult to pedal those things.
Well, you know, it's weird. Those are 20-inch BMX bikes, right? That's your standard BMX bike. And I rode a BMX bike probably until I was, like, 15. And then I kind of graduated to, like, a little bit more of an adulter bike, more adult bike. But, yeah, I guess it was more about doing tricks and stuff.
Yeah, if you want to play, like, the episode title clip, we can see the bikes because I just wanted to look at those bikes.
Yeah, clip three. All right, here we go.
And we I want to talk about Cheryl. And we have a
who's basically Carrie from Little House on the Prairie.
I was just going to say that. I had to check to make sure it wasn't Carrie.
That would be funny. I need to find more correlations, more connections with WizKid and Little House. Is Max Gale on an episode I didn't know about? Is he on this episode is the question.
Not only him, but A. Martinez was in the credits. A. Martinez. And I'm waiting for these guys to show up. They never show up.
No, they don't come until later. But they do become a regular part of the show. This is the pilot. So this was shot, and I guess they sold the show based off of this. Oof. Here we go. Oh, so he goes and he gives a shot of something to the lady.
They knock her out. They knock out the visitor and put her in a secret room. Not a secret room. It's just another room so that she's always sedated. So we're going to unravel this plot. So don't worry that you're...
It's hilarious. It's really hilarious.
Love that Casio.
I got my Casio right here, so. I can't play like the person who made the music for this particular show, whose name is Paul Chahara. And Paul Chahara is a classically trained musician and I think a composer, and he's very, very accomplished. And I said, I think that this is all very much Walter or Wendy Carlos light.
Very, very light.
Like switched on Bach. Yeah, so, but here's my little, I bought this at a Goodwill. I think it ended up costing 75 cents. It is a Casio SA-5. It's a little tiny one with the song bank. But it's, oh, that's the piano sound. So let's go for the synth. I could have narrated. I could have made music for this. I could have scored WizKids. Like, you know, that's when that's when you know what, when the pretty girl walks in. Easy, easy. I'll do this all day long. Or when mom comes in. What are you doing, Richie? Put your pants back on, Richie.
Wow, he did the music to Prince of the City. He did the music to Bad News Bears Go to Japan. The Doctor Strange TV movie.
Turn that off.
Wow.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, like I said, the guy is very accomplished. You can actually learn a lot about him at paulchahara.com. I'll put a link to it in the
His IMD photo is kind of funny, but...
Oh, really? He looks like a pretty animated-looking guy. Seems pretty happy. But there's a cool picture of him, I think, in 1973. He's conducting the London Symphony. And his hair is kind of long and shaggy. He's got a goatee. He's kind of cool-looking. I have a feeling he's got a lot of stories. But meanwhile, back in L.A., 1983. That's the TV show. It's not me playing. There's a lot of cool music in this episode, by the way. And what we're seeing is that we're kind of flying over a really nice area of LA in the hills, maybe the hills. And some of these houses are huge,
really?
Right?
I mean, they're ranches, but they like do like they go this way and then they go that way and then this way. Like the last house that we're going to drive into is like really nice.
Yeah. But Richie's mom, by the way, is divorced.
Oh, what?
So that's another thing. Yeah, like that's something that didn't come out in this episode. But yeah, they're divorced.
Wow.
They're very modern. Very modern. Very modern. If you look really close to one of these houses, you see a very young Tori Spelling. No, I'm kidding. You can tell by the nose. I'm gonna just lower it. But yeah, we see the bikes. They're they look like mongooses to me. Mostly.
Like you have to stand up just to pedal.
Richie has. Yeah. Some of these kids are kind of tallish. But I'm not really sure what Richie is riding, but when we see Richie, we see Albert Ingalls with glasses on. He's got the members only jacket on. He's riding a bicycle. It's really kind of crazy. In some ways, this background could easily be Little House on the Prairie. With the rolling hills. So yeah, they show up and they're basically on the property that we were kind of talking about.
Yeah, play through it because I just want to hear the You know, it's Richie and his friends, Hamilton, and I forget the other kid's name.
Yeah, there's Ham, and I'll find the other one. I always forget their names. And Johnny,
I don't know. I can't remember.
I'll find it. All right.
There's Carrie.
Yes.
Cheryl, go home.
Mom told me to come home.
She did not.
You just go fall
this
down in the
air shaft. Has so much freedom because I don't know how far away from their home they are right now, but
yeah.
She shows up here later on in the episode. It's dead of night. She's 7 years old, and suddenly she pops up where the kids are, and we'll explain that later. But I'm like, holy cow, this show is dangerous.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, this is a little bit.
I know it's 83, but come on. There were sexual predators then, too.
But listen, you know, like in E.T., like the mom was awful, right?
Yeah, true.
Divorced mom.
See, that's why the dads got away.
Albert, again, Richie's falling asleep, and when he's not in his bedroom, looking at God knows what on the internet bulletin board systems.
So what was around back then? What do you mean by that?
All right. A BBS. And that's essentially, it would be a computer that you dial into. You know, and that's it.
So you need a dial-up.
That's really. Yeah, you would contact through dial-up. They had like maybe a 1200 baud modem or 300 baud modem. Do you remember when Windows 95 came out?
Vaguely.
Back then, people had the 14,400 baud modem, right? A 14,000 baud modem. What they were using was literally like 20 times less. It's ridiculous. But yeah, I had one. I had one of my Commodore VIC-20. We had like a 300 baud modem, I think it was. I forget what it was, but it wasn't slow because you kind of were, it was just what it was. And you would pay a monthly fee to access these bulletin boards and you'd be able to download files. I didn't do this with the VIC-20. I was able to go into other things. Now, back then, if you had like one of these early computers, you'd be able to legitimately make airplane reservations or hotel reservations by dialing into the hotel's BBS system.
Wow. I did not know this.
Yeah, and you could put your like Diners Club card in there, and nothing was secure, of course, and it was just it was the beginning of what would become the internet. But these are basically dialing into other things, like when he's at the school and doing all that. Those aren't even computers; those are basically terminals that are connected to one.
All right, we're going to talk about that
in the school.
So
yeah, and that's
so
more
there
of
was
a main
no dark
type of
bulletin
thing.
Boards.
Well, sure. I mean, they had, you could find like dirty stories or download, conspiracy theories or the UFO type of things, but you're not really able to transfer video or even
not
images.
Not even images. Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know that.
I mean, the images were just terrible. You see what the images look like in this, and this is state of the art for the most part.
Yeah. I know we're spoiled now. I know we're
Craziness.
Spoiled.
We are, you know. Remember back in the 90s even, we had like LimeWire, Napster. It would take forever to just download a 5 or 6 megabyte song.
Oh, I miss those days. I do.
Me too. It was simpler. It was more chaotic. But let's see. Cheryl Adler is played by Melanie Gaffin. And the friends are Hamilton and Jeremy.
Nobody went on to anything else except episodes of Simon and Simon. I'm not kidding either.
Well, Matthew Labrador. I would say out of the bunch, Matthew Labrador is still considered still. Well, Jonathan.
Well,
Harris,
yeah. I mean, I'm just talking to kids.
It's weird too because you have Melanie Gaffin, which sounds like Melanie Griffin, and then you have Madeline Kane, who sounds like Madeline Kahn, as the mom, Irene Adler. But then you have we'll get to it, but we're going to talk about Gallagher. So weird. All right, so here we go. I'll play some of the darkness that's in this episode. That was Jeremy snapping his fingers.
Okay. Come with us. We're going to ride down Miss Harrison's driveway.
Yeah, and you can go first, Cheryl.
In case old Miss Harrison catches you.
Because then we might be able to save you.
You know what old Miss Harrison does to little girls.
Everybody knows that. She eats them raw.
She does not. She cooks them first.
Yeah, she microwaves them.
Come on, Cheryl. What are you waiting for?
They do that a number of times in this what? Episode. They scare the shit out of her.
Oh, my God. Poor Cheryl. Cheryl is just relentlessly abused throughout this episode. Yeah, she is. But you know what? They are at least nice to Carrie for the most part on the show. This right to her face, they're like,
"That's true.
You're dead to us. So we're kind of riding around and they're kind of questioning. There seems to be movement in the area. People have these cool jackets that say NASCorp on it.
It's funny how that logo NASCorp keeps popping up everywhere. Like he goes for a drink at a vending machine, and that has the NASCorp on it.
Oh, really?
Their dad has insurance from NASCorp. I don't understand what this company is, that they have an insurance company, a vending company. That's why I was thinking, it's Spectre. You know, that guy is Blofeld.
Yeah.
And so they find a skeleton on this lady's property, Harrison. It's going to get complicated about who's who and what and why is why. Yeah.
I think the bottom line is they see the skeleton and they're like, no, and they run. They
and
book
Carrie
it.
Yells. And
Carrie. And we get to back at the club.
I know you want to get there.
Do you want to hear the music?
Always want to hear the music too.
All right, good. Here we go. I'll call it the Richie song. By the way, his computer has a name.
Ralph.
Did you catch that? Yeah, R-A-L-F.
Oh, is it R-A-L? Okay.
I believe it's R-A-L-F. That's funny.
They can't smell. Yes. They can't spell.
No, they're idiots. Richie has a... from what I can tell, it looks like a mongoose bike. But do you remember there was a period of time in the 80s with these BMX bikes where the tires were blue?
No.
Yeah, this was like a thing. It was kind of strange. I think it was mostly a mongoose.
Wait up! What are you so scared of?
I'm not scared. I want to call Gallagher before he leaves work.
Great, then he can write a story and call us unidentified minors.
And we pass mom's car. Okay, we got to talk about the car with the California plates. This is a 1982. I wrote it down.
With that funky back.
Yeah,
what the hell?
Well, that's a throwback to the old like fancy cars where you would put a trunk.
That's like futuristic.
Yeah, those are great, but it's an. I assumed it's an 82 Sabre. Oh, man, it's here somewhere. Give me a sec. But it is a cool Cadillac. It is Seville. Sorry, 1982 Cadillac Seville. And it is a big, huge 8-cylinder, powerful, huge car. But it's a car I would drive today. I love that car. About 8 miles to the gallon, probably. But this is this car is a very futuristic car too, because it had things like heated side view mirrors and things like, you don't normally get on cars back then.
So they're very, very wealthy.
That's the impression you get, right? I mean, the house.
Right? Look at that
nice
pool.
Too.
Did you see the pool? I was like, Jesus Christ.
And they have like that really cool, those clay shingles that's so nice in California.
What he's got to do, it's not his fault.
I'll bet something bad's happened to Miss Harrison.
Really?
Why else would she sell all her land to NASCAR?
Right, after all that junk they've built everywhere.
We'll use Ralph to find out.
I wasn't scared either.
Yeah,
Then why'd you scream?
You're supposed to scream when you see a dead person. Everybody knows that.
Shh. I'm sorry, see him just kick her in the face at this point.
Wait.
There's a whole separate entrance.
I know. It's, I think that's... It's the pool cabana. Wait, Cheryl has a great line coming up.
Here we go.
Here.
Wait up! I want to see Ralph too! Mom, we found a skeleton!
And I guess Mom doesn't believe her because she never follows up on it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, sure.
All right, now here we go. We're going to go frame by frame through this.
Oh, I could.
I'll do the best I can. That is in this room and what it does. Like, he just turns things on.
Now, I watched this show. I watched this show when it was new. All right. So I was into computers at this time, but I didn't, you know, I was no Richie Adler. And I mean, I was 10. But I mean, I wanted one day to have a room where I had all these lights and
this monitors. Is what I picture your attic looks like.
This is a lot like what it looks like. This is what I'm looking around right now. Yeah. Better, actually. But no robotic arms. So here we go. I'm gonna 844. So he goes in.
What is that? He turns it on.
Oh, just a monitor which I dug up that might be from Grid Systems Corporation. This is one of the things that you sent me. It could be. There was a monitor company that you sent over. Let me just see. Now I got it here somewhere. It was one,
oh,
of, the,
one
it was
of the ones
one of the
at
companies.
The end. It's like the very last note I had.
I think it was Tycom, maybe, which there's a company called Kyocera, which they do a lot of modern stuff. They were bought out a long time ago. They make, like, monitors. So back then, you could actually get, you know, getting a monitor that was bigger than, like, 10 inches mm-hmm. is a big deal back then. And back then, there was no color. You know, these things are just those green monitors or just
now,
black
he better
white.
Have a lot of AC in there, right? Because
oh,
it's got to be
yeah.
fucking hot.
It would be sweltering.
Hot as fuck in there.
And he's booting everything up. He's got patch bays. And he's a test tone.
Lots of floppies.
He's got the 5 1/4 inch floppies.
What is an image recognition program? What is this?
I mean, you know what this is. But like the new iPhones have image recognition and. This is nonsense. You know, this is really just, come on. You know what this reminds me a little bit of? Remember the movie
yes.
Looker? You probably loved it.
I love it.
Me too. I think we should review it in the future. Looker had a lot of these kind of really cool things, but they had it really refined. They made it, like, kind of sexy. And they have this RCA camera.
What is that doing?
That is going to look at his face and turn it into a bitmap image and then compare it and see if it can identify the face. A lot of these, like, sounds and database search. I mean,
Turkey.
That's a voice synthesizer. That's not that big of a deal. But back then, you know, it's very much like, shall we play a game?
I remember that beeping noise from like Jason of Star Command.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of like that kind of weird generic stuff. But the Xerox thing, you might notice Xerox being part of the companies that were thanked. Well, they did in 1982. They were doing like large digital printing mm-hmm. like format, but they also were dealing with a lot of Kurzweil, which was synthesizer, like music synthesizer.
Xerox?
But, yeah, Xerox. Yeah, Xerox. It's like IBM. Their hands are everywhere. And actually, yeah, I mean, Xerox and IBM actually worked hand-in-hand with a lot of computer companies. Xerox, you know, they made their fortune probably with, like, Dittos. But you know, the bottom line is. But, all right, we'll play some more of these sounds.
Randy.
And it just, it's right. showing like
so
all these computers.
919 through like 922. Go frame. Yeah. What is everything? I think I see an 8-track player there, but besides that, like what is all this stuff?
I'm gonna go back.
Is
all
that right, a CB over there?
I'm at 919.
Yeah, that's where I am.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff. Well, you see, like it's like a computer keyboard. It looks almost like a VIC-20 or
right
Commodore
there,
64.
Yeah.
That's like just another computer. It does almost look like ham radio.
Yeah,
stuff
right. That's what I thought.
That,
but
could be. I mean, but you know, he does deal with a lot of police stuff, so it could be police scanners.
They have all this great equipment, but no light bulbs in this place. It's like kind of dark in here.
Yeah, right. Well, that's kind of like my attic. I'm kind of living the dream here when it comes to all that. So there's also Action Computer Enterprises. So I looked this up, and you can find a lot of these boxes throughout here. They're called Discovery Multiprocessors. And there's one thing where his digitized bitmap like photo
yep.
is up on a screen. Then below it is another screen, and below that is like a patch bay type thing. That, I believe, is from Action Computer Enterprise, which is, it might be the S100 or the Discovery 1600. They both look kind of similar. And that would just be ways of, like inside there, it's like a CPU.
So is the idea that he's got all of this stuff connected together?
Yes, that's the big, I think that's the dream, is like Ralph is a Frankenstein of technology.
Interesting.
Like the ultimate thing, like not even the police have anything like this. And we do find out that his dad is with the government in the future. A lot of this stuff is government level. I mean, we're talking, this Action Computer is original retail price $3,500 back then. I'm sorry. No. That's the cheap one. The one that he would probably have is $6,500. So, I mean, we're talking about like a good $200,000, $300,000 worth of equipment.
That's,
it's crazy. It's totally unrealistic.
That's
why
they don't want Cheryl in there, because she'll spill her glass of milk on something. It just ruined the whole thing.
Exactly. Well, there is an episode in the future where Ralph is stolen. They steal Ralph.
Like, how could you
might have been confiscated.
How could you get everything out of there without anybody seeing?
I would figure a way. But I think that the government comes in, the FBI or something, and maybe they confiscate it. And he's complaining because he's on this like little tiny computer. He's like, this thing's a piece of crap. But he's still hacking. So there's not too much that can stop Richie Adler. So, yeah, I mean, I'm doing the best I can. I mean, it's a lot of screens. It's a lot of nonsense, really.
But you love it.
It's a lot of craziness.
And
this was my favorite thing when I was a kid. I was like, it's my dream to have
something. Something wasn't working, and he's like, oh, I forgot to plug it in. You know.
Yeah.
At like 8:39. Yeah, go.
Should I do that? Wait, 8:39?
No, I'm sorry, 9:39. He's like, oh, that's why Ralph wasn't working.
There's a lot of this, a lot of typing.
Hello, dear Abby.
What's happening, Ralph?
Searching. Hello, Hamilton.
My God. So, it's just crazy. I look at this when I was a kid and I loved it so much. Now it's just like an old phone can do.
And so now, if you go to like just 1014, this is where they're. I just want to show you the screen. This is where they're tapping into the newspaper computer system of their friend. And
yeah. Now, what they even call it here, it's the Los Angeles Gazette Central Word Processing and Data Retrieval System. This is something that would be pretty legitimate. You know, like this is, you go in there and you can, you ever see those big tapes, those big, you know, computers
yep.
with the tapes
yep.
on them? Essentially, that's what you'd be tapping into with something like this, and it would just play the tape, and it would run the data from the tape into this and kind of upload it to you. And it would be very slow. I mean, it's not something that would just instantaneously happen, but if it's just text, you know, it's not that big of a deal. And they have a password for access. Kilroy.
All right.
And it, all that is like these guys just staring at the screen like, all right, I'm in. I don't want to type too hard because it's going to make my computer do
that. Is that an old form of email? Like, at like, what was it? 1035, yeah, I think it was. 1035? Yeah. This is what the message that they're giving to.
Oh, yeah. Like, they have, it's weird. To me, that looks like a Mac. I can't say for total sure.
Look what he's done to your story.
Is he using a word processor? So I guess Richie is tapping into his computer and messing with the font.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's bigger. Why he says.
Richie.
So I think that's.
Yeah, so this guy who looks like Jeff Bridges, I guess.
Yeah. From is... the thing, right? Which was another computer.
I guess he becomes Max Gale in later episodes.
Yes. Yeah, Max Gale, I believe, will come the next episode. Let me just double-check that. For Fatal Error, yeah, we have Max Gale as... Actually, even as a different name, it's Llewellyn Farley Jr. is Max Gale's character. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of... I like this guy. This guy wasn't so bad, the original. But
no Max Gale.
But Gallagher's a good name for somebody like that. I could see Max Gale being a Gallagher. With the watermelon. So we remember that guy? Whatever happened to that guy? So yeah, they're basically all right, I have to just there we go, I'm back to normal. So the skeleton is being looked at by the authorities.
Yep, it gets taken away and they think that this is the skeleton of the last surviving member of the old lady who's in the coma. And yeah. Because that person's dead, this land goes up for auction or something. And NASCorp has the money to buy because, you know, now that I think about it, maybe this is like the future Oops. Microsoft, and this bald guy is Bill Gates. Maybe that's what it's supposed to be. And he's branching into real estate.
I would say well, if you notice, one of the companies that did not get thanked was Microsoft was nowhere to be found.
No, wasn't Gates with Apple in the beginning?
Bill Gates was – well, Bill Gates and
the app guy, right,
Steve Jobs. They did work together for a period of time. Then Bill Gates purchased MS-DOS from somebody. And he went in, you know, then it was MS-DOS, and then it was just with Wozniak, I believe, Steve Jobs went and founded Apple. But at this point, Apple and Microsoft are already kind of rivals.
Right, Apple got thanked.
With the Apple IIc, and yeah, Apple has some seriously cool computers at this point.
So the kids are doing research on their school computers. And I'm wondering if we could go there because I kind of like the way these looked. And I'm wondering if you know what they are at 1308.
Yeah. These are basically terminals that are connected to a mainframe.
All right. Explain that.
Which just means that just means they're connected to a big computer that's somewhere in,
in a high school? In 1983?
Yeah, this wouldn't.
It wouldn't be realistic. We had computers, and we were learning BASIC.
We
could
do. Yeah, I mean, this was a little bit more advanced than BASIC, but it wasn't – I would say this would be a system that would be used on a university, but not in high school.
Computer class, Jesus.
Oh, we see Alice, the girl out of nowhere.
Who Hamilton likes. Not even Richie, but the one of the Friends.
I think at some point they all like her.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a sec.
She gets kind of, you know, thrown around a little. I'm
just kidding. But in 1333, if you can freeze frame it, you'll be able to see the computer.
Oh, yeah. Let me see these. All right. Oh, that's an Apple.
Is that an
that's
Apple?
Actually an Apple II. Apple IIc, I think. They're really cropping out the logo. And it's, yeah, that one in particular, it's funny because they don't have it set up correctly at all. Do you ever freeze framed? All right, so if you notice where he's typing, there's a flat top to it. The monitor is supposed to go up there. It makes the most sense. But they have it on the side to make it look more hackerish. But you could actually take the top off of those things very easily. I have one right downstairs, the same exact one. And it's I love those little things. They are almost like you can open them up like the hood of a car and work on them.
Rick, how much are these going for right now? You go to eBay right now to look for these.
I mean, a few hundred, I guess. I'm not really – I'd have to look
it up. Do these old systems like have, you know, like an 8-track player? You know, an 8-track player nowadays is going for a lot of money for some reason, but I'm wondering.
Yeah, like I have a couple 8-track recorders. That was going
nice
a whole lot. But yeah, I mean Apple II.
Even though they can't do very much, right?
They could. No, it's not an Apple IIc. I was wrong about that. Although I do have the Apple IIc. Maybe it's Apple IIe. I'm sorry, I forget the names of some of these. I'm going to guess it's Apple IIe. That's not that bad. About $300 you can get one. Huh. Not terrible. I mean, I have a Commodore PET computer. And those go for about, in the condition that mine is in and with the owner's manual, about $1,000. I paid $60.
Nice.
But, you know, they're cool. They can't do much, but a lot of people, you know, these can play video games. And there's nothing quite like playing with the original peripherals and the original cartridges and kind of having this real world
experience.
Wow, these
can play video games? Wow, I didn't think.
Yeah. If I recall, the Apple II, I know the Atari 400s was a regular computer, and it also had a thing right on top. You could just plug in Atari cartridge.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah. It's really cool. So, all right, back to WizKids. Here we are. They have
right,
maps
they're hacking
up
into like town information, trying to get property information.
Yeah, this wouldn't be
from real, a school computer. That's what I get.
It looks like it's microfiche, actually.
What?
You know, remember the microfiche machines?
I know, not at all.
Remember the? Sure, yes, you do. If you went to a library in the 80s, you'd definitely know microfiche.
Well, microfilm.
You would
Yeah.
And you could they were like little tiny negative or positives, and you put them on there, and it's like
newspapers. I used to love that
and stuff. Yeah, me too. They still have
what really?
Yeah. I don't know what you can look up on
old newspapers. I guess I don't know if they still put them on there.
It's kind of cool.
Probably stops after 1982.
I'd love to have one of those things for no reason, though. It just looks like it takes up a lot of space. So that's what they're pulling up. I think it's a microfiche, really. I just think it's also very funny how he's always typing 1,000 things. And I mean, this is Albert Engels. And it's like he's the computer guy. It's very... From one extreme to the other.
Hey, you didn't say that NASCAR bought the Harrison estate.
Because they didn't buy it. Look, there's been no change of ownership since 1903.
Now, do we know how much property this is? Did we get an account on
that? I don't
know,
but it looks pretty big. Like, there's a lot of... That's a nice chunk of property that they're looking at for Harrison.
And did you see what it was valued at?
I did not.
$1.3
million.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, it's right. In 1977?
Yeah, I mean, that's... No.
No,
this
I'm
is
saying
19,
it's his last appraisal, 1977.
Oh,
and it's
okay.
Still 1,300. What?
It's probably like 18 square miles or something.
You know...
It's probably what the, what was it? The Apple campus was going to be built on. Damn you, Steve Jobs. Leave that lady alone, Steve Jobs. Sorry, I'm just putting the battery back in my mouse. All right, so let's get to... We're about to enlist Alice, right? So just to answer your question, he was on an Apple, so that's your regular school computer. But when they're working on the mainframe and all that kind of stuff, because they're complaining that he's doing all this stuff at a later date on the computer, it's just those are mainframes, the ones that the school.
Like if you could freeze frame at 1359. Okay. It's a different angle of their setup. So, so on the left you have the screen, and you got those little two stacks where the pencils
are. Oh, those are just
disk
drives. Yeah, those are disk drives. Like 5 1/4 inch floppies.
Right on top
and
there.
You would have two of them. You would run the operating system very often off of one. And the other one, you can load a program or you can save data.
God, look how huge that is, that whole setup.
Yeah, and it's not even as powerful as your Razer system. Yeah. It's crazy. It really is. It's very crazy. But it does look different here. I don't recall the back of... They might have put something there to block it so that it doesn't look like an Apple. Did it look like they were really trying to block the logo before?
No product placements here.
No, really, there's not, right? So we're going to sneak a girl into Richie's.
Oh, can we play that? Because where is that? I
know,
it's a 2053 where they take Alice back to the clubhouse and they make this really suggestive. I don't know, Alice. Three guys are bringing you back to their place.
It's very strange, but yeah, let's... they're riding their bikes.
Alice has the
beach cruiser.
Bike.
Yeah. And her, like... And that pool
that is
pretty
like
amazing,
freaking
actually.
It's his house.
Hey, what's up there?
That's a Little House on the Prairie money, man. What's up there?
Some kind of clubhouse?
Yeah.
You thirsty? You want a drink?
Let's give her a Ruthie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I gotta go.
Yeah, good smart, Ron.
Wait. We didn't say you couldn't join the club.
And, you know, it's funny because they actually cut it out. This was supposed to go to another scene where they're all in the hot tub. I'm kidding. Yeah, like, and there was going to be, like, with Rodney Dangerfield, it was going to be this whole other thing.
Are you asking me to?
Yeah. If you pass the initiation.
Blow us. You have to blow all of us.
It's terrible. It's terrible, terrible. Three guys should not be saying you can come as long as you pass the initiation.
But she's intrigued.
It's like when you hear about gangs, you can either get beat in or you can sleep your way in. Jeez. Run.
Why do they give Alice the classical music theme? I don't know.
It's only alluded to in the beginning, but she's a dancer. And I got to tell you, Richie has this shit-eating grin on his face.
This is Albert when he's on the drugs.
It really is. This is Albert. He's back under the stairs. He's drinking morphine.
And he's dressed in that rapist mask.
Smoking a pipe. All right, so... He thinks, you know, Richie's a nerd. I mean, that's the thing. And maybe he thinks this is going to super impress a girl. This is the probably the first girl that's ever been in there outside of
right?
Mom and Cheryl.
Initiation?
What is your name?
Alice.
What sex are you?
The word sex is...
Girl.
What sex are you?
Oh, it's a computer, isn't it?
No. She's not the brightest.
No, it's an 8-track player.
No, it's not. That's my mom. Imagine your mom. What sex are you?
Female. Is that better?
What are your measurements?
Right?
Now this. I like the humor there, at least, you know, and her response is, of course, right. appropriate.
Oh, come on.
Never mind, Ralph.
Thank you.
Look into my camera, please. This is what you look like to me.
Ooh.
And it's like the worst bitmap that you've ever seen.
You can't even make out what that is.
Yeah, it's like a really bad Atari game.
When you have to bang the computer to hope the picture goes back into place. You have to bang the computer. That's what I used to do.
What is all this stuff?
Hey, it's Ralph. I built him.
You're a real computer nerd, aren't you?
Don't you know anything? I'm not a nerd. I'm a hacker. Pretty awesome, huh?
Now, right there.
Pretty awesome, huh?
No. What can you do? Can you change my grade? Because Matthew
can you
Broderick
start a thermonuclear war?
Yes. Shall we play a game is what I'm talking about. I do like the effect of just putting on a red light when they're scanning the faces. I think that's a nice effect. That reminds me of Looker a little bit, even though I don't think
she's
used red.
Looker.
I gotta watch that again. There was another movie that I always compared that to with Tom Selleck and
Runaway?
Gene Simmons.
That was
yeah,
a good
Runaway.
Movie.
With the little acid shooting robots. Those are awesome.
I guess. So, am I in the club or not?
Oh, well, you have to ask Ralph. Go on, just say, Ralph, can I join this club?
I didn't want to say something like that because I know you would have yelled at me.
No. I think that he's actually great in the show because he's a little bit tougher than the other guys. So even though you have, well, Jeremy is the one I'm talking about, but you just have Hamilton. Hamilton's kind of a tough guy too, but he's so involved and he has eyes for Alice in a lot of ways.
Let me ask you this. So when I first watched this, I thought Richie was directing what Ralph says, but Ralph is really talking. Like he's a Terminator. Like he's he's.
I don't know if we're alluding. I guess
he's artificial intelligence back then. Okay.
I think if a girl is in Richie's place, then she's in the club.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, well, you have to ask Ralph if you're in the club. And I was thinking Ralph was going to say, show us your tits.
Oh, my God.
Ralph, can I join the stupid club?
Welcome to the club, Alice.
All right. Hey, you're in. Great. Congratulations.
Like, what is the program that he ran an evaluation and said, okay, Alice can join? That's why I thought he was somehow, I don't know, like typing behind the scenes or something and making.
Here's the thing. There's a fallacy here. When it says, what sex are you? Female. Oh, you're in. That's the reality.
You notice
here.
Ralph didn't get it. He was like, no, what sex are you? What is female? What is female?
Yeah, it was just like, had to dust off those tapes. It's been such a lonely room of machines and Cheryl.
Damn, I wish I could have gotten some images from that bulletin board, but I can't do it. I don't know.
Yeah. So We're going to, let's see, bad guys learn.
Right, they learn that the kids are the ones. Like, the kids went to NASCorp, and Blofeld, the Blofeld character, was just telling him about the development anyway, like he's got time, and does this for every kid who comes to the door asking about it. But then they.
Yeah, he's got the white gloves on.
But then they find out that these kids are just like being a little too nosy. So this is when NASCorp starts canceling Hamilton's dad's insurance.
Yeah, like I just think that's kind of crazy, right? I think Hamilton's dad's name is Lee. Because I looked at the bill and he throws it down. And he's like, he's all mad because he basically canceled his insurance. It's $77, maybe a month. Maybe it was $77 a quarter or something. We pay our insurance every 6 months. So I wonder, was it like $150? $154? Oh my God. That'd be nice.
For how many cars? So remember now.
How many cars? This is 1983.
No, because you assume the parents had one, but we know that the brother has one later.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I too. $154.
I know you want to get to the mechanical arm, so if you want to play that clip.
Well, the address, though, I just want to say, where Hamilton lives is 210 West Palm Avenue in Burbank, California. So I go there, and it's just a lot.
Really?
So it's, yeah. And it's kind of industrial.
No, I was going to say, so it's not a neighborhood. It's an industrial park.
Yeah, I'm kind of clicking around.
You know why? Because NASCAR bought it up.
It's funny because that's exactly what it looks like. It looks like, let's see, there's really nothing around here. It looks like the outskirts of an airport almost. Like it's just, what's right around the block? A Chevy dealership in the Nickelodeon building. That's what I can say. The Nickelodeon building is right around the block from where Hamilton lives. Nice.
Ouch.
Nickelodeon. We have to find the correlation of NASCorp and Nickelodeon. Or Viacom, right?
I don't know.
Viacom.
Like shutting down operations, aren't they? Like, I know they're letting people go at Viacom. Because they're all merging now. Like, somebody bought something. So Viacom, isn't Fox part of that whole brand?
Now I'm looking at this. I have a feeling that this was just a lot. Like, this is probably where WizKids was partially filmed.
Like, no, they wouldn't let Prime Real Estate go like that.
No, but I think this is on... I think that the area was probably at one time all studio owned. Because it's so close to the Nickelodeon building. And it doesn't look like it's just like little tiny... I don't know. I'm sure we can figure it out. But I bet you it is. 210 West Palm Avenue in L.A.
If anybody lives nearby and can give us some eyewitness account of what is there, what was there...
Well, it's just a parking lot. Yeah, I would love to do a little bit of a... To go backwards. And all of a sudden you see Matthew Labrador driving up in a DeLorean. So, all right, here we go. Where are we now? At the cemetery. Should we just jump right to the cemetery
one? Hold on.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of...
Okay, 31. Got it.
Yep. 3152?
And so let's explain. They're going to the cemetery because they think that the last surviving member of the Harrison family that owns the property died years ago, and that's the skeleton. So now they're going to the grave, I think, to find out who's in it.
Yeah. Even though it's been since, what, 1952 or something? We have a nice little horror moment. I mean, we're grave robbing, right? I mean, this is a serious
This is how
crime.
Loose things were back then. Like, if parents didn't oversee their kids at all.
It's like, where is mom? It's like she's passed out with like a quart of vodka.
She's entertaining a gentleman caller while the kids are out. That's why she sent the 7-year-old. Go find your brother.
It's quarter to midnight. Go find your brother. And pick up a carton of cigarettes. And 2 beers. Alright, there's a lot of theatrical.
Is he okay?
Music.
Yeah,
fine. You're right up there.
Of course I am.
Why shouldn't she be?
Now, I don't know whose bike they just showed, but it has magnesium wheels. They're like the mags, you know, like those.
Those are nice.
Yeah, those are real nice. I like them.
What are you gonna do if she's not here? Jump up and protect her? Could you just shut up and dig?
Good idea.
Would kids be able to? I know they have like three. What are they? They're in high school. Let's say they're. Nah, 16. I was gonna say 14.
15.
They're gonna dig.
The way they're talking, yeah, 14, 15. 7 feet most,
down.
Yeah.
I just can't believe they could do it this quickly.
Well, I can't believe they could. Yeah. Well, we don't know how long they've been there.
True.
You want to dig a hole, you dig a hole. Quick. No, so we have... this is a very much like an Albert Ingalls type of thing to do once he's hooked on the morphine. Like, I'm going to go dig up graves. I need my fix. Got a nickel. Alice is there, and she's not even. She's not pointing her flashlight at anyone. She's just kind of like, "I'll just stand
here." Scared.
She's like on Instagram or something like that. Have you ever done anything like this? Like, I mean.
No.
It's crazy, right?
You know how much trouble they would be in if they got caught?
La Brea Cemetery. So this is the one that's maybe right over near the In-N-Out. I'm going to see if it exists. It's owned by NASCAR.
Ouch.
It's like Weaver Feelers in construction.
Insurance.
Cemeteries.
Vending machines.
Insurance. Vending machines. Oh, my God. Doctors. Nursing homes. As far as I can see, there's no La Brea Cemetery, thank God.
All right. Oh, God.
And in the background, we have loving daughter Melanie Childs, 1937-1952. That's where Alice is standing. That's kind of a little bit of a creepy little thing. I wonder if that's an Easter egg to or a reference to somebody.
What's that noise?
This is like the E.T. file. All of a sudden, holy cow.
Do you see anything?
No. Let's get the coffin open.
That's exactly what Albert would say when he needs a fix. I would never do this. I would never in a million years.
I would kind of be curious, but I would dig for four hours to do it.
I would be Alice in this. I'd be like, I'm not going anywhere near this.
I would be Cheryl. I would be just sitting over there. And then when the work's done, say, I want to go home.
And it's funny. Alice goes and runs into Hamilton's arms. In the grave. The one place you don't want to go is fall into a grave.
scared you.
Cheryl, I'm gonna kill you. Get her. You come back here.
It'd be kind of awesome if the kid didn't come back.
Help! Help!
Cheryl, can I get my hands on you?
Oh.
If you say anything to Mom.
All right, now everyone needs to pay attention.
Because this is, it's sick.
We're about to scar this 7-year-old's life.
I'm going to stuff you in this coffin. And I'm going to leave you there overnight, all alone.
Coffin?
Oh, God. It's open.
And even Alice isn't like, no, you can't say that to a little girl. He's like, yeah, that's what we're going to do. But yeah, the kid just kind of showed up with the dog. Dog's gnawing on somebody's foot.
He's got a skeleton bone.
Exactly. There's no body in the coffin. Nothing.
They've uncovered something. So they get caught. So they get caught by Slade, get taken back to NASCorp. This is another big. I want you to explain what they're doing. So,
they're also stealing this from War Games, in my opinion.
They get locked in a room that has a metal cabinet that very conveniently has computers that they're going to somehow use to escape.
Well, what they're going to do is connect to the main. Like each room in NASCorp, I guess, has terminal wires. So you connect these like terminals to it and it gives you access to the computer.
Okay. And that controls so you can control everything. And
yeah, they had the Nest back then.
So you want to look at what he takes out of the closet? It's at like 37, 35. He's going to go in the closet.
Now.
Yeah, it's just a generic computer. I mean, with the NASCorp thing on it. Oh, wait. Did that say visual? If it says visual, that's a brand.
Yeah, my big mouth.
Look at those screens.
I'm trying to look. I don't think it says visual, but visual used to make these. I have one downstairs. Like it's like one of the first laptops and it's like 45 pounds. And it has the two of those big floppies in it. It's ridiculous.
Okay. Fastest password find.
All right.
Like, this would take days. There's no way they would get it in, 7 seconds.
All right, so back in the days of hacking, you know, cracking passwords and everything, back in the days when we both worked at Scholastic,
ouch.
I remember I was friends with Ellie. Yeah. You remember Ellie? So Ellie's boyfriend was doing some shady shit, and I wanted to help her get into his AOL account. So I have, especially back then, I had access to a password cracking piece of software. But my home computer just didn't have the power. So I would use Scholastic's internet, which was like super duper fast. And we would use it in the conference room because there was a computer in there. And we would run it 24/7 for like about 3 weeks. And we finally broke
the
password.
Holy shit.
And we got it. Yeah, so that was kind of funny. But it's called brute force password cracking. You know, brute force. You're going to try every combination of things. But the software I had would use common words as well.
I mean, look at the passwords that it's trying. BBBD. BBBDE.
Yeah.
BBD.
Yeah.
FH.
It's insane. So, that was something that we did back in probably 97 or
That's pretty funny.
Nowadays, you get locked out once you type in your password 2 or 3 times, and you're locked out. So, this is not something that would work nowadays, but they call it brute force because you just keep trying until you get it.
Wow. Okay. I did not think that was possible to do back then.
Yeah, it's really, really a simple type thing.
And I guess the passwords weren't so complicated back then either.
No, probably not. So, yeah, he's just setting up the whole... he's in the NASCorp, the electronic data processing department. I don't know. He's just typing binary code and making it up.
Well, how long is this going to take?
I don't know. It could take days.
Great. And we'll be dead.
It's just awesome. But yeah, finally, it takes what? It takes about 3.5 minutes. Like... do you have the part where they finally get in?
Yeah, it's at... wait. 38... if you start at 3807, you'll see it.
No, I'm at 3851 already, where he's running
software. Oh, you're in there.
Something happened to them, I know it! You should have waited longer!
Oh, I do want to play this, because I thought that the music was kind of cool. Hamilton's, like, holding her hand. They're moving kind of quick. Kinda quick.
They're not there by the end of the first period. We'll get help. Something's gonna happen to us if we don't go in.
Reject, 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 reject. So the password they accepted is BBBNR or something. And now that you have full control of the entire corporation.
Transfer funds from bank account.
Right, exactly. But no,
we're not going to start the sprinklers.
Yeah, and if you look at, I'm always forgetting his name. Jeremy's face. He's just like, "Whoa, we're in!" I think he might even say that.
Hi.
Maybe if I can screw up things enough, we can get out of here.
We're seeing, like, on the screen all of the different portals where it's administration.
If I knew you could do this back then, I would have said, Mark, put on the sprinklers at Scholastic.
I'm no Richie
Adler. I don't think they had sprinklers either.
No, I don't even think this stuff is computerized nowadays.
Air conditioning. Optimum temperature. How about 120?
Yeah, because that'll kill you.
Temperature you have entered exceeds normal range. Please confirm that this is a correct value. Go for it! Hey!
Thermonuclear war. So, this is essentially... do you remember in War Games where they lock him in the room and he basically rigs a cassette tape up to the keypad? And he's playing, he's recording on the cassette player, and he says, hey, I have to pee. So the guy goes and puts in his code. He records the tones. And then when the guy leaves, he plays it back. And that unlocks the door. So I there's a pretty decent correlation here. But this is something that happens kind of often on the show. You know, the bad guys get their hands on
him. I was going to say, like, how do they keep... like always having a computer handy to go MacGyver on a situation, you know,
that's it. It's kind of like MacGyver, right?
They're lucky that they were trapped in a room that had just a spare computer hanging around because IT didn't need to send those back to wherever they were rented from, wherever they were leased from.
He launches the sprinkler system, which is funny. Like, this is this loud thing. He's dialing the newspaper. No, the police or the newspaper. I never know who he's calling. And it's like, you know, that. Remember the old school dial-ups? Yep. That's essentially what it is.
What the hell is going on here?
It's like, it's very annoying. He's jamming up all the phone lines and everyone's screaming. Yeah.
Seven minutes are all chaos and action, and everybody's heading towards NASCorp. Then they got to head to the convalescent home to save the remaining Harrison lady.
My favorite thing is that NASCorp seems to have a stock of bicycles outside. Did you notice that they even say NASCorp?
I wanted to ask you this. So that computer that Albert is working on is now in a room that is, you know, the sprinklers
being covered in water.
Going. It does blow up eventually, but not before he can do what he needs to do.
I think it would have been smart if they found something to put over it while he was working on it. It would have been a little bit more realistic.
He had the token say, hey, cover me. Hey, Jeeves, cover me because the computer's going to get one.
But we see Kilroy is linking, I think that is what it says. And he's tapping into Gallagher's computer saying, this is Kilroy. Shirley Harrison is alive. She is in room 211 at Sunnydale Hospital. Meet us there. Hurry.
So, yes, I'm just going to go on this tip and follow my hunch.
Well, when you talk about Richie Adler. So this is the music I was talking about that I thought was kind of good.
Well, that's Devo.
It really is. It kind of is Devo, right?
Hurry up, let's go.
And Hamilton does not know how to drive.
And so he's endangering, like, God knows how many people. What do you, you don't like his car?
Station wagon. Yeah, I don't know. That's like a Ford.
That's like something. That's like something undercover cops drive.
Yeah,
look at those headlights.
God, this is crazy.
Never driven on the freeway before.
No seatbelt on, you know. And total Trans Am just drives by. Now that's
is that
a nice
the white
car.
One? Is that was that?
Yeah, that, nice, really nice. Or could be a Firebird, I guess. So everybody's on their way to go to Sunnydale Hospital. They kind of can't believe all this stuff is happening. The boys are all being chased, right? And they jump onto the fire truck that's there.
And do property destruction. Well, they already did that.
Yeah. There's that nice NASCorp sign in the front.
Which just falls over.
Got an idea.
So they use the water cannon to shoot down the NASCorp sign. Like, just because this is happening doesn't mean NASCorp's going
right,
away.
Right, I mean, he's the lone bad guy, and everybody else is, like, good people.
Right, stockholders.
You know?
Yeah, like... Except for the doctor. I'd say he has to go to jail.
Those are ugly bikes, though.
But we did skip over him using the robot hand to feed himself. Seems easier just to pick it up and
I don't get why
eat the sandwich.
You needed that.
But it's a $2,500 robot arm.
That now has crumbs in it.
Yeah, that's... strange.
Telling you this is very improper. The patient in 211 has been discharged from the hospital.
Well, I'd just like to see it for myself.
There, told you.
There, are you satisfied?
Where is she?
The patient in this room has been discharged. Now, if you don't leave immediately, I'll call the police.
Go ahead.
Excuse me, nurse.
It's like, what? Like, you don't want the police to really be involved, do you? Like, you did a lot of illegal stuff, kid.
What happened to the lady who was in this room?
Why, I just saw Dr. Telwyn take her down to physical therapy in the basement.
Discharged, honey.
Keeping this poor lady drugged up. This is a kid's show, like you say. And now he's going to throw her in the hot tub.
Well, he's a syringe of morphine, probably. Everything's about morphine, people.
And Jonathan Banks can't take care of, like, some teenagers. He gets knocked out by the teenagers.
Yeah, and it's, and he's kind of saved the day.
Oh, she falls in accidentally because someone pushed her in the wheelchair. Oops.
Oops.
Name. What is your name?
Shirley Porter.
Shirley Harrison Porter? Harrison Porter?
Yes.
Can we have your property? Just give it to us.
Exactly. Sign right here.
All right.
And this is where we learn that Gallagher is actually an employee of NASCAR. And he just stabs her in the arm and kills all the kids. Gets a $10,000 bonus.
Man. Yeah.
So they're being walked out by the police because clearly they didn't pay for bail yet.
I think when you post a pic from this episode, it should be like a freeze frame of 4812 with all the different companies that contributed to this episode.
Let me take a look at that. Yeah, that is kind of crazy. The Los Angeles Gazette. Interlisp. I don't know what that is. Interlisp D. Yeah, Microbot is a pretty cool company. I do think that it was kind of cool that the Paul Lutus program is available on the archive.org website.
Was that just a Google search and that came up?
Yeah, I just did a search for Graphworth. I never heard of it. I heard of Paul Lutus, I think, even though I did a search around and I couldn't find too much.
Microbot, is that still around?
That I don't know.
Or Proton, Tycom.
Sure they were bought out.
Is Xerox around?
Yeah,
Jesus.
Proton. Well, yeah, Xerox is still around. But yeah, Tycom was purchased by Kyocera. And let's see what else I found. Of course, Apple computers we know, and Atari we sort of know. What was Grid Systems? I did find out something about Grid. Oh, they make computers. Yeah, they
surprise.
Oh, look at that. They were purchased by Tandy. So Radio Shack ended up owning them.
Jeez.
Yeah, so that's good stuff. Good stuff. But all right, well, Christopher, thank you very much for doing this episode.
I can't tell you how much I learned. I'm not kidding. Like all this computer stuff.
I really enjoyed this show as a kid. I don't know if it holds up.
Knowing what we know.
But entertainment-wise, even, it's kind of like, it's kind of questionable.
It's written in the 80s, let's put it that way, like where every episode had to be wrapped up in 30 seconds.
But, you know, the episodes do get better. They get less hero-ish. I mean, everybody, they always get their guy at the end, but it gets pretty good. And I think there's even an episode where Richie's playing a video game with somebody and he helps somebody break out of jail.
Wow.
Unwittingly. Yeah. So that was kind of interesting. And the guy comes after him, which I think is really kind of cool. And what else? I wish Matthew Labrador would give me a call, reach out. I don't think he's going to listen to the show, but if it does make his way to him, hopefully
so we could
not too
right,
afraid.
So we can talk about WizKids. We don't care about Little House. We want to talk about WizKids.
Yeah, I genuinely would love to know if he was able to keep any of these artifacts.
He probably had no interest.
Oh, I bet you he had some level. He's kind of a geeky kind of guy. I mean, he went into voicing a number of Pokemon.
I wanted things. So you would know this like right off the bat. I'm trying to get to IMDb and my computer's. So Matthew is still working today, right? Like he does voice things, right?
Yeah. Matthew. Let's see.
Most Star recently, Wars: The Old Republic. Yeah.
Well, the video game. He did the additional voices, but you know this stuff pays. But he worked on Pokemon a lot.
Does
of
he
Star
still
Wars
sound
stuff.
The same? Do you know
Yu-Gi-Oh?
I'm kind of curious. What it sounds.
Yes, he does. I saw an interview with him with the Little House. He sounds older. You know, I don't think he has such a distinct voice. Do you think?
I mean, we're so familiar with it that I would recognize it if it was still if it still sounded the same. Mm-hmm. There's one thing I wanted to mention about Alice.
Did you know he was on two episodes?
I just saw that. I just saw it. Yeah. Must be a two-parter.
I had no idea.
Alice was on ALF.
Yes. How did I miss that?
I was like, wow. I didn't recognize her, honestly.
Yeah. I'd say she probably went on to the biggest TV type of thing after this.
Until 97 when she stopped acting.
Well, she probably, I don't know. I think that's a good time to just kind of say, yeah, I've had enough of this type of thing. But, you know, she did some after-school special work.
She was on Who's the Boss?
Well,
Parker Lewis Can't Lose. Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Kind of interesting. But, you know, I've never watched any of these shows, actually. I didn't watch a lot of TV during the 90s. But, like, I've heard of Step by Step and Mad About You. But, yeah, Alf, she played Lynn Tanner in 101 episodes.
She's got residuals to live off of.
Is Alf in syndication?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? I'm sure, that's right? Like freaking everywhere.
Yeah. Who do you think would be the weirdest person for her to marry?
I have no idea.
I don't know who she's married to. I'm just saying it would be kind of funny if she was married to, like, Nicholas from It Is Enough or something. it'd be kind of strange. But that's not a fact. I don't even know what Nicholas's real name is. Remember that kid with the bowl cut? He looks like a weird Paul. Thank you for listening to Retro TV. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider subscribing and leaving us a review. See ya next time.